God So Loved the World, a booklet by Dr. Clarence Sexton. The Bible says in Psalm 89, "Remember how short my time is." In the book of James, God's Word says that your life is even a vapor. In another place, the Bible tells us that life is like a gentle breeze that crosses our faces and then it is gone. No matter how long we live, the Bible says it is a few days. After death, we go into eternity. The Lord has made a way for us to be with Him forever. That is why the Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." There is a real heaven. The Lord Jesus said on one occasion, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." John 14:1-3. One of His disciples said, "Lord, we know not whither Thou goest, and how can we know the way?" The Lord Jesus answered, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me." John 14:5-6. If you believe what Christ said about heaven, you must realize that the Lord Jesus also said there is a real hell. He spoke of a man who died and went to hell, saying, "And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame." Luke 16:23-24. If we are going to believe what Christ said about heaven, we should believe what He said about hell. We were created for eternity, and every human being is going to live as long as God lives. Beyond the door of death, after our last breath here on earth, we are going to live forever somewhere. We will live either with God or without God. Every human being has an appointment with death. After death, will you be in heaven or in hell? There is no question in life that deserves as much attention as this question. It is the one issue that must be settled. This is why in John chapter 3, the Lord Jesus said to a man who came to Him under the cover of darkness, "Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again." John 3:7. Nicodemus was a very religious man, but he said to the Lord, "What do you mean? Must I go the second time into my mother's womb and come out again?" The Lord Jesus explained to him that men must have a spiritual birth. All people have sinned. We have all sinned, and we are dead in our sins. We must have a spiritual birth. In Romans 3:10, the Bible says, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one." In this chapter of the Bible, God lists what is wrong with humanity. He says, "There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in His sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference." Romans 3:11-22. The Lord speaks about Jews and Gentiles. He says there is no difference. When we come to verse 23 of Romans 3, He says, "For all have sinned." This means I'm a sinner. You're a sinner. We are all sinners. My wife grew up in the home of a Baptist preacher. Unfortunately, her father was killed in an automobile accident when she was only 5 years old. He was returning from a funeral home where he had gone to comfort a family that had suffered a death in their home. My wife, her brother, and her mother were at home in the kitchen making a cake to surprise him, but he never arrived. It had been a rainy day, and there was an accident. An officer motioned for a bus to drive around the accident. On the other end, without knowing, another officer motioned for my wife's father to drive around. The two vehicles collided. The bus hit his car head-on. He was killed instantly. My wife grew up in a fine Christian home. Her mother took her to church every Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. She talked to her about the Lord and salvation in Christ. My father was a professional gambler. I have a brother and two sisters. My wife and I grew up very differently. No matter what your background is or what has happened in your life, all of us have the same problem. The problem with the world is not lying. It is what causes lying. The problem with the world is not immorality. It is what causes immorality. Each day, 5,000 people in America start using cocaine, but the problem is not drugs. Terrible things are happening, and there is something behind it all. The thing behind it all is sin. We are all sinners. Our sin brings a high price. You may say, I'm not a sinner. You may have in mind that you're not as bad a sinner as someone else. The Bible is true, and it says, for all have sinned. You may not be as bad as someone you know personally, but we are all sinners. The Bible says the payment or wages of our sin is death. This means death and hell. It means separation from God forever. We are born with a sin nature. In one sense, every human being is still born spiritually. We are spiritually dead. You may be trying to make the world a better place. I hope you are. But most people who are really busy trying to make the world a better place are only making it a better place from which to go to hell. We are going to live and die. Today, would it be heaven or hell for you? Christ died for all people. Let us remember that Christ died for our sins. All are sinners. Christ died for all, not just a few, but for all. In other words, I can go anywhere in the world and tell anyone I meet, Jesus Christ died for you. On every island of the sea, on every continent of the world, among every race, among every nationality, among every language group, people need to hear the good news. The good news is the gospel. The Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. We say this is the good news. This is the gospel. All are sinners, but Christ died for our sins. It is good news because we have heard the God news about our sin. This is good news, but only if one hears it before he dies. Let us thank God that we have heard it. In Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 9, the Bible says, But we see Jesus, who is made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. I can look you in the face and say, I have something very important to tell you. There is nothing more important to talk about. It is the only vital thing in life. Christ died for you. He died for all. The most wonderful story anyone has ever heard is the story of Calvary and what Christ came to do on the cross. Most people can quote John 3:16, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God loves you and loves me so much that he sent his Son to die on the cross for us. Jesus Christ lived a sinless life. He was born of a virgin. He went about in his earthly ministry doing nothing but good. One night in a garden, he was praying. He was not praying with his hands neatly clasped, kneeling at a stone as some artist might paint, but the Bible says he was on his face in the dirt, and great sweat drops of blood broke through the pores of his flesh. He prayed under the agony of our sin, not his own, as he was about to go to the cross to bleed and die for us. From the hillside, coming down across the Kedron Brook, with torches and lanterns, a band of men came to take Christ. They brought lanterns and torches because they thought they would have to chase him into some cave or some place where he would go to hide. But when they came to him, he stepped out to meet them. I have stood in that garden, in the land of the Bible, many times thinking how he could have seen them coming. If he had wanted to run, he could have, but he did not run. The Bible says that he stepped forth. When they inquired concerning who he was, he spoke, I am. When he said those words, the people who came to take him fell to the ground. Think how hardened people's hearts can become. Can you imagine this mob coming to take Christ? After hearing the sound of his voice, they actually fell to the ground, yet they got up and continued toward him. No doubt they thought as they bound his hands that Christ would be unwilling. He was not unwilling. He freely offered himself. He gave his life. No man could take it from him. He said in John chapter 10 and verse 18, "No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself." The Lord Jesus and his disciples had a discussion earlier about this kind of thing and about swords. The Bible says they had two swords. I do not know exactly why this is mentioned in the Bible, but they had two swords among them. Peter had one of them. The high priest's servant, a man by the name of Malchus, started to bind the hands of the Lord Jesus. Peter could not stand it any longer. He drew his sword and went for the man's head. He missed his head and cut off the man's ear. His ear fell to the ground. If you have ever had a wound on your face, you know that it bleeds profusely. No doubt blood was pouring. Christ took Malchus's ear and reattached it to his head in the presence of all the witnesses, but they still took him. Christ went through a mockery trial that night and was delivered the next morning to Pilate. From Pilate he was taken to Herod and then back to Pilate. Someone said, "He's a king," so they crowned him with thorns and pressed them deep into his brow. They said, "He's a king, let's anoint him," so they spat on his face until his face was covered with spittle. They said, "He's a king, let's put a robe on him." And to mock him, after they had beaten his back until it was broken and bleeding, they placed a robe of mockery on his shoulders. Eventually they brought him before a mob of angry people, and the mob cried out, "Release Barabbas and crucify Christ." Christ bore the cross to Calvary. When he came to the place of crucifixion, they took spikes and drove them into his hands and feet, lifting him up on a cross between heaven and hell, and there he hung. If you see him in your mind's eye, you ask, why? He never sinned. Why? He never did anything wrong. Why? They lied about him. False witnesses came to testify against him. He was the only innocent one who ever walked the earth, yet he hung there and bled and died. The people heard him cry out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" The billows of God's wrath rolled over the Lord Jesus as he became sin for us. He who knew no sin, as the Bible says, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. He bled and died for the sin debt of the whole world. We do not get the picture when we say the whole world. We do not quite understand when we say there are more than 6 billion people alive today and millions have lived before us. We might, however, get the picture when we say, "He died for me." I want to ask you a question. What do you think about what Christ did for you? How are you going to respond to what Christ did for you? I am God's messenger to tell you that Jesus Christ loves you and that he died for you. He was buried and rose from the dead. He came bodily out of the grave. The stone that covered the tomb where his body was placed was rolled away, not so Christ could get out, but so others could go in and identify that the tomb was empty. We praise God for his resurrection. What hope we have! We believe him when he says, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." John 14:6. When Christ asked the sister of Lazarus, "Believest thou this?" as she said, "Yea, Lord," I want to stand beside her and shout, "Yes, Lord, I believe also." Do you believe? All people are saved the same way. All are sinners. Christ died for all. The third thing we need to realize is that everyone is saved the same way. Everyone comes to God the same way. I am not going to go to heaven because I'm a minister. I'm not going to heaven because someone felt sorry for me. My wife is not going to heaven because she grew up as a preacher's daughter and her daddy was killed in an automobile accident when she was just a child. All people are saved the same way. Let us consider an interesting verse that most people do not understand, but it explains the whole matter. In Romans chapter 3 and verse 26, the Bible says, "To declare, I say, at this time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus." God is just, and he is the justifier. How can a holy God allow sinful creatures into heaven and still say that he is a just God? He is just, and he is the justifier. The Bible teaches that when we come to Christ and trust him as our Savior, God declares that we are justified. Some think that being justified means just as if we had never sinned. I appreciate that thought, but it means so much more than that. It means more than just as if I had never sinned. It means just as if I were never a sinner. There's a great difference. I have 2 sons and 5 grandchildren. I love to talk about my grandchildren. I want my grandchildren to go to heaven. I want to be there with them someday. I love them. I'm enjoying them here, but I want to be in heaven with them. Some people have grandchildren who are going to heaven, but are not going themselves. Let us get the entire family to Christ for salvation. I do not want to go to heaven without my family. When my sons did something wrong while growing up, I forgave them. I forgave them just as they had forgiven me of things, but I could not erase what they did. God not only forgives us, He erases any record of what we have done. There is no record for the child of God that he was ever a sinner. When one asks God to forgive his sin and places his faith in Christ as his Savior, God declares his sin paid for on the cross as Jesus Christ died for him. He imputes or puts Christ's record on the Christian's account. He sees his children as he sees Christ. Christ was never a sinner. It is more than the fact that he never sinned. He was never a sinner. When God looks at our record, he sees Christ's record on our account, just as if we had never been sinners. The devil is doing a terrible work, but the work that God does through Christ is a greater work than what the devil does through his evil efforts. God's work is greater than the devil's. The devil's work can be undone. Christ's work can never be undone. We are all children of the devil by nature. We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every human being is already under a death sentence. God has held court and declared the whole world is guilty. The world is sentenced to go to hell forever without God and without hope. Our lovely Savior, Jesus Christ, came to this earth and bled and died on the cross and paid our sin debt so we would not have to go to hell without God and without hope. He was buried and he rose from the dead that first Easter morning. When we ask the Lord to forgive our sin and by faith trust Christ as Savior, he hears our prayer, forgives our sin, and saves us. You may say, I believe all of this. Do you? The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Ephesians 2:8-9. This is where we must not make a mistake. There are many people who believe that they are sinners, and that Christ died for their sin, but they have never trusted Christ and Christ alone for their soul's salvation. For many people, it is Christ plus baptism, or Christ plus good works, or Christ plus First Communion, or Christ plus the Lord's Supper. The Bible teaches that it is not by any work that we have done. It is by Christ and Christ alone. No man can earn his way into heaven. Charles Spurgeon, a preacher of a century ago, said, if I got to heaven because of my good works, when I walked into heaven through a gate of pearl, onto a street of gold, and saw mansions of glory, I would say, O Lord, I don't deserve to be here. But if I get there because of what Jesus Christ has done, I'm going to walk through that gate of pearl and say, oh, how wonderful is this place, and I expected such a work that only Christ could do. You ask, what must I do? Allow me to tell you my story. When I was a teenage boy, I came to a youth choir practice at my local church, and the youth choir director said to me, I would like for you to stay behind because I want to talk to you. He asked, Clarence, are you a Christian? He knew a bit about my home life, and he was troubled about some of those things. I said, I guess I am. I'm not a heathen. I come to church. I have a Bible. I go to Sunday school. He understood what I was missing. He explained to me what I have written to you. He took me down the hallway from the choir room into the pastor's office, and he and the pastor sat across from me. They asked me if I would pray for my heart and trust Christ and Christ alone, ask God to forgive my sin, acknowledging to God that I was a sinner, and invite the Lord Jesus into my life as my Savior. I did not know how to pray, but they led me in a prayer. I knew prayers like, now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. But I did not know how to pray to become a Christian. They led me in a prayer to God for salvation. That day, I did not trust myself or trust them. I trusted in Christ alone, because all are saved the same way. I asked God to forgive my sin, and I received Jesus Christ as my Savior. Bells did not ring. Lights did not flash. I did not feel funny all over. I knew that I had taken God at His word and trusted the Lord Jesus as my Savior. For example, a chair will support my weight, but it will not actually support me until I trust it to do so. You can say what you will about God, about Christ, about His saving power, but He is not your Savior personally until you trust Christ and Christ alone. Someday I know I will be in heaven with God. What a wonderful thing it would be if you were there also. The only way you will be there is if you personally trust Christ and Christ alone for your soul's salvation. All have sinned. Christ died for all. All are saved the same way. pray and receive Christ as your Savior today, you may pray from your heart this prayer to God. Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner. I know that you died for my sins and that you rose from the dead. Forgive my sin and come into my life. I trust you as my personal Savior. Now help me live for you from this day forward. In Jesus' name, amen. Please write me and let me know if you've prayed and received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior as a result of reading this booklet. I want to send you something to help you in your new life as a Christian. You may write to me at Clarence Sexton, P.O. Box 159, Powell, Tennessee, 37849.